This weekend, I'm away in the wilderness with my family. We would be camping in the outdoors and connecting with nature. This adventure is something that is done yearly. I'm looking forward to many graceful moments while I'm out there in the woods. Grace is my all-time favorite topic, and I was excited when Connie introduced it many, many months ago. I knew I wanted to share it with all who would hear what grace meant to me. I know grace is my all in all, and it is the totality of my entire existence. Thank you for allowing me to share my experiences with you, even in my absence. Grace is my life. From Mimi's reading last Sunday, grace is all givingness. It is divine assistance giving freely without struggle and with ultimate ease. Grace is forever abounding. It is forever expansive. The more good grace I am aware of in my life, the more grace and goodness I receive. This is not by coincidence. It is a natural working of the flow of the creative law in the universe. My friend Sharon Rothstein, whom I continue to learn so much from, once shared in our study group about 2 years ago what life looks like to her as the tree of givingness. She described the picture of all mankind sitting under a tree, which provided the most wonderful shade with its huge branches and big leaves. She went on to describe that the leaves that fell represented a need fulfilled. Each leaf represented a gift for someone. Whatever the need was, there was enough leaves to fulfill it. This powerful story stayed with me and shaped my thinking toward knowing that God's grace was forever available and abundant. This grace-filled leaves continues to fall moment by moment in my existence. The tree of givingness is the tree which provides shade for all mankind. It is the only tree there is. Its branches spread across the land to infinity, giving shade to all. Whomsoever will may come, this is a famous Bible quote. This shade is the love or the givingness of grace is. I have found it is very easy and extremely natural to interchange the word grace with the word God, and by extension the words goodness and well-being with the word grace. To me, there are no differences in their meanings. God is good. God is grace. Everywhere I turn, I see this shade and comfort willingly given, always available. I am this shade. Grace is who I naturally am. The shade is my inherent nature. Now, although I have described grace as leaves falling from a tree, my intention is simply to clarify the abundance and easily accessible goodness that is grace. Grace, or God, is certainly not out there. I am not just waiting for well-being to fall in my lap from a distant out there. I am all the goodness. I am grace at the core level of my being. I need not look outside myself to find grace. If I believe that I could see it outside of myself, then it is only a reflection of who I am. This reminds me of what Felicia shared with us last week. She said that after looking into David Tharp's eyes at Eastern Conference, she saw the Christ. I smiled when she shared this because I immediately knew she was looking into the cosmic mirror of herself. She saw her divinity. That is grace. David Tharp, of course, explained to her the same thing I heard from her, in essence. I see and recognize grace when I am ready and willing to accept more of it. I recognize grace as I embody it fully in myself, in another, or in my environment. Grace allows me to reflect, like a mirror, the things I see and need in my life. This reflection does not come in the form of lack, but as a reminder that all these and more are mine for the recognition and right use of it. Grace is here in this now and time. Grace reminds me to stop, acknowledge, and give thanks for these wonders that goodwill and well-being bring into my life. I know and accept that goodwill is here for me at all times. Sometimes the circumstances of life obscure my vision, causing regret, pain, discouragement, and distress. And all this happens because I am choosing to think that I am not shaded under this mighty tree of givingness. When I fail to recognize the leaves of goodness that continually fall into my lap, then it seems as though there is no justice. The leaves of goodness will and must fall. My duty as human is to recognize this love and accept it as my good and bathe in its beauty. It is great when I recognize that God's givingness is always available to me, and I choose to know and understand this greatness called grace. There is no place where grace is not. Grace is abounding always. Grace is, as Judy mentioned last week, a soft blanket to lie on, which enwraps us. In closing, I remember that I am all existence. I remember I am grace. I remember life is easy. I remember life is grace. I remember that as I fix my gaze into the cosmic mirror of my being, it is grace that smiles back, reassuring me that all is well. And so it is. Love to you all.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
The reminder that was given to me was that today we were speaking on everyday miracles, and that the topic for the month was grace. And I went to the dictionary just out of curiosity to look for a definition of miracle. And the definition of miracle in Webster pointed out that in England, which of course I'm going to pay attention to that one, a definition of miracle is mystery. And so I don't think you can separate the words miracle, grace, and mystery. It's like the weaving. They're all threads in the same tapestry. And you can't talk about one without talking about the other. 16 years ago, I wrote these words. What do we mean by grace? Grace is divine love flowing through each one of us. It is that movement of God in our lives that transforms our daily life and each moment in it, if we let it. So what I'm going to share with you today is how I let the movement of grace and the mystery of God transform what could have been a very ordinary week. And I'll share with you four miracles, some which look very plain and mundane, and others which are a touch more mysterious. The first miracle I want to share with you happened at Eastern Conference. I went to walk the labyrinth and noted that they have a beautiful new pathway to the labyrinth. And it's called the Pathway of Prayer. And the bricks have people's names on it. And I don't quite know the full story behind it, but it was just very peaceful. The trees were arching overhead. And the labyrinth is situated in the woods. And it's a labyrinth like none I've ever seen. It's none of the conventional labyrinth designs. And I can't tell you how it's different, but it is. And as I was sitting, not walking the labyrinth, I watched a deer on the other side of the labyrinth. And I thought how special it would be to walk the labyrinth with a deer. And I decided if the deer stepped on the labyrinth, so would I. And after a little while, the deer stepped on the labyrinth, so I did too. And I started walking the labyrinth, and the deer stayed on the labyrinth for a while, then stepped off. And I just kept on. Then the deer came back, stepped on the labyrinth again, and just walked clear across it. And I just kept going around and around as you do on a labyrinth. And then when the deer got to the other side, I was aware of something else. A beautiful, beautiful butterfly flew onto the labyrinth. And it flew, I thought it was going to land on me, but it kept just a little bit away. And as I walked the rest of the labyrinth, I walked it with the butterfly. And afterwards I looked up at the meaning of the deer and the butterfly. And the deer was about gentleness, and the butterfly was about transformation. So that leads me into another miracle. The next miracle touches on transformation, and it touches on transformation of my ministry, Evensong. All week at Eastern Conference, at the back of my mind, I had been opening myself up to what next, having a great sense that change was to come. I didn't know what the change was to look like, so I didn't know what Evensong was transforming into. After Evensong was over, I went to stay with a fellow minister in Black Mountain. And in the course of staying with her for two nights in her beautiful home, situated on a river, in absolutely glorious gardens, we conversed, and she told me how her ministry was changing. And she had started a church with a fellow minister and had been led to give the church entirely into the keeping of her assistant minister. And she shared with me that now she was at a loss because she didn't know how ministry looked for her. And she wanted to teach classes, and she was just sort of in a state of transition. And I made the comment, "You can join me in Evensong and offer your classes, and they will be accredited by you. United Church." And the light went on. And she said, "I can do that." And I said, "Yes, you're a United Church practitioner. You can teach the United Church." She's an independent minister. "You can teach the independent classes. You can teach the United accredited classes. And I'll be your, sponsor. And she just got so excited about it. She said, "Well, I love Evensong." She loves the service of Evensong. And I said, "There's no reason why you can't do Evensong here in your home and teach classes here in your home." And so Evensong now has a new member, and it is Reverend Sonia Contois from Black Mountain, North Carolina. And the part of it that's a miracle for me is I've known that Evensong was to expand, and I didn't know how or where. And now it's expanded into North Carolina. So that feels very beautiful to me. Now, after I left Sonia's home to come back, I had a little stop to make. On my way to Eastern Conference, I had been stopped coming over the mountain pass, going down the other side a little fast, and I got a speeding ticket. But not like any speeding ticket I'd ever gotten before. This one, they presented me with a sheet, and it said, "Your court date is September something or other." And I said, "Court date? Can't I just pay the ticket?" "Oh no, you've got to show up in court. You were going, 77 miles an hour in a 60 mile an hour zone." Well, I was. But I had to show up in court. And I said, but it's 9-hour drive for me to show up in court. And look, the court time's 9 a.m. on a Thursday morning. And I'm always working Wednesday night. I'll have to drive through the night to be there. Well, whoever he was, the sheriff who stopped me, he didn't seem to have an answer for that. And I said, can I call and get a price on the speeding ticket and just send it through the mail? No. You could get an attorney if you like to go to court on your behalf. I said, no, that's not the answer. So I said, where is this court? And he said, well, it's in Marshall, North Carolina. You get off exit so-and-so, and you wind around for 10 miles, and then you get to this little country town, which is like one block long. It is minute. And they figured out how to make income, because you not only pay your speeding ticket, but this court costs. And so I thought, on a whim, I decided to stop at the courthouse on my way to Eastern Conference. So I stopped at the courthouse and I went to talk to the clerk. And she said, no, I don't have the power to have you pay the fine. You have to show up in court. Only the district attorney has the power to change it. And I said, well, where is the district attorney? Upstairs. So I go upstairs, and there's, oh, we're very sorry, the district attorney isn't in today. I said, well, I'm coming back this way in a week's time. Would the district attorney be in on Monday the 11th? And she looked in her book, and she said, why, yes, she'd be here on the 11th. I said, well, could you make me an appointment? And she said, certainly. She's here at 8 o'clock. Come as soon as you can after that. So I went back downstairs and I said to the woman, now how much is this fine likely to be? And she said, well, it's probably a $130 fine and a $100 court cost. You better bring, this is a little town, you know, making income. You better bring about $250 in cash. So I said, okay. So I show up a week later. I've just left Sonia's house, and I'm about half an hour from her house. And I show up at the courthouse one more time. And I go up, and I go to upstairs to the district attorney's office, all ready to plead my case. And I was met by the same clerk I talked to before, and she said, your paperwork is done. It's all taken care of. Just go down to the cashier and pay. Okay, I can do that. So I go down to the cashier, and I'm standing at the window, and I'm saying, please, God, let it be under $200. And when she came, it had been reduced by 50%. It was $110 instead of $230. That felt like a great miracle to me. There was another little miracle attached to that one. Because in the next town, which is Mars Hill, which is very close to the freeway, I saw this funky place called the Purple Mountain, and it was an espresso shop. And I was able to have a latte, and I thought, well, it's an expensive latte, but thank you, God, for showing me a new coffee shop. So, those are three of my miracles, but I was reminded of a fourth one. The coffee shop was a miracle too, so that was four, and here's the fifth. And this is all in 1 week, so how many miracles can we have if I've got five in 1 week? Mm-hmm. I had a dental appointment the day after I get back, and I show up, and you know how it is. I kind of dread going to the dentist because I always get these little talks about, now, remember to floss, and you know, da 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 da. And the last time I'd gone, it was like, oh my goodness me, you've got this and that. You should floss more, you should do this, you should do the other. This time I went, and she whipped through the cleaning, and I thought, is she trying to make up time for the next appointment? And then the dentist came in and said, well, how are things today? And she said, absolutely wonderful, doctor, absolutely wonderful. I thought, wow, I like this one. And then she looked at me and she said, your teeth are in great shape. And I was like, wow, that's a new experience for me. And I go downstairs to pay, and it's ridiculously low. It's the lowest bill I've ever paid, and I've been going to this dentist for, you know, a couple of years. And I look at my bill when I get home, and it says, senior discount, $25. I think, oh, not too shabby. And then some other discount, $45. So I was discounted like $70 altogether. And I thought that was pretty hot. And that's a miracle to me. So that's the end. Oh, let me just tie it all together with that's the end of my miracles. Grace is in everything that happens, every part of our day. The mystery is how grace is kind of woven through our life. And it's kind of like the weaving, the tapestry. For that one week had so many shining miracles in it. It was like it got all these extra beautiful, colorful threads. Mm. Thank you.
Mm. Lovely. Thank you.
There's such a gift to this series of opportunities that we've had this year to talk about the qualities of God. With grace as the quality of God, we're talking about this particular month, because the essence of the qualities of God is omnipresence. So any of these characteristics that we identify as the quality of God is everywhere and always, right here and right now. There is no place that this is not, because there is no place God is not. So there is no place grace is not. And so many times when we decide that we're going to change our lives, we think we have to create something that isn't in order to move to a new place. And the truth is that we never have to create something that isn't. What we need to do is perceive something that is. So what we're talking about with grace or with peace or prosperity or joy is the recognition of a quality already present in our lives. And the same thing is true of everyday miracles. Just to be alive is a miracle. Rabbi Hushel once said, to live is holy, just to be is a blessing. Just to be is a blessing. And when we begin to come from that place, not of, I've got to fix what's broken and there isn't enough, but rather look around and say, how richly I am blessed and how many miracles there are already in my life. We position ourselves so that we have the eyes to see what is. Marcel Proust, how do you say his name? Proust. Thank you. It's good to have literary folks in the crowd. Proust said, the greatest voyage of discovery is not in finding new lands, but in seeing with new eyes. And so we see grace, we see everyday miracles with new eyes. We feel that incredible blessing that exists in every moment. The blessing of a musician who can play a beautiful song and move us and touch our hearts. The blessing of friends who acknowledge and notice the miracles in their lives. That's one of the blessings of going to Evensong every week, because we sit and we give thanks for all of the blessings in our lives. And as you hear somebody else say, we go to the one in Falls Church still once a month, and every week, every time we go there, Duke says, I'm grateful for my truck. And to just tune into that capacity to continuing be grateful for the joy of something that is serving us in our lives. How many of us take our mobility for granted? I know I do periodically, and then I remember the 4 months of my life that I spent in a wheelchair when I couldn't walk and I couldn't drive, and how what a miracle it is just to walk out and get in the car and go where I want to go. Freedom is an incredible miracle. Our capacity to just do what we want to do every day. It's something that we so take for granted, but it is such an extraordinary thing. It is a blessing that we have here in this country, with the prosperity that we experience, with the democracy form of government that we have that allows free travel between states. I used to be amazed when I would drive up 10 hours to visit my mother, because I'd go through 8 states. And there were no checkpoints at the borders. There were no guards with guns. There were no passports or papers. There was just free movement. And it is such a blessing to have this whole country that allows us free movement, that allows us to choose where we want to be and work at what we want to work at and worship the way we want to worship. And come Sunday morning, one of my miracles, I don't know if you can see it because the banner's here, but I'm barefoot. To be here giving a talk on a Sunday morning barefoot is a miracle. That is not your average Sunday morning kind of thing. The freedom that we have is amazing. And all of that is not what I plan to talk about today, but I was inspired by Reverend Hillary's and Gail's talks, because that's the truth for me. And I spend so much time disciplining myself, practicing, looking for the grace, the miracles in everyday life. I do it as a conscious practice, because as you look for it, you find it. And until you look for it, it's unlikely that you'll find it. But once you know it's there and you look for it, you see it everywhere. Because God and grace and miracles are omnipresent. The story I did plan to tell you was a synchronicity that happened to two friends of mine in this past week. And let me tell you the story the way it unfolded for me, because it was so cool. I had a conversation last week with a friend of mine in California, who I've been praying with to do some expansion of her business. And she was wanting to meet some new people who met a particular criteria that would fit in with her business activities. And so we had done the prayer work, and she had taken a couple of weeks off to go to Hawaii with her new boyfriend. And after she got back, I talked to her, and she said, the most amazing thing happened. I was on the beach in Hawaii, and this guy came up to me, and we started to talk, and it turns out that he's one of the people I was looking for my business. And it's such an extraordinary thing that he's into all the things I'm into, and we share all of these things, and I may be able to... She's a book publisher. She said, I may be able to publish his book. He's an author, and he happened to have it with him on the beach. And so he was able to show her the book, and she realized it was exactly the sort of book that she was looking to publish in this new publishing company that she started. And that was so fun. I was really excited about it. And she told me it was okay to talk about the fact that it was an answer to a prayer. And then this week, I got a note from another friend of mine who was giving a testimonial to a big public group about answered prayer in his life. He also has a new man in his life. And he was telling me this story about how this manifestation of this new man in my life as an answer to a prayer that I had done with him was such a wonderful thing, and that they had gone to Hawaii for their vacation. And while he was on the beach, he met this extraordinary woman who is maybe going to publish his book. And I wrote back and I said, yes, this is her name, right? And he wrote back and he said, yes, how did you know? And I said, because she's a friend of mine. And so I was able to close the circle of that synchronicity, that both of those people are people that I have prayed with for the realizations of these things that led them to this place that brought them together. And I'm not saying I'm the critical point in that. Both of them had this intention that was met through this. And I just amplified the synchronicity, because it happened that I knew them both, and I knew the history of what had happened with both of them. But we can't avoid the miracles that are there for us if we stay in that space of I'm willing, I'm open, I'm praying, I'm acknowledging my good, I'm accepting my good, I'm allowing well-being. And you go on vacation and you meet the person that you need to meet to bring in your dreams into fruition. So life is good. That's the bottom line. Life is good. Life is supposed to be good. And in tune with synchronicities that has been passing back and forth all morning, this is Sunday, July 18th, and the quote from our spiritual moments calendar on our table this morning is, miracles are natural. when they do not occur, something has gone wrong. It's a quote from Course in Miracles. And that's true. You know, miracles are natural. Abraham said it this way. We were on their cruise last week in Alaska. And what they said is, to the people on the cruise, being on the cruise was an extraordinary manifestation. For everyone who was there, it was a powerful culmination of intention and preparation. They had taken a week off from work or from whatever they were doing. They had gone to Seattle. They had gotten on the ship. They had paid for it. And all of the things that you do when you get in the place where you're going on a big trip. And so it was a culmination. And Abraham said, in the same way that this week is a culmination for you, every day has the potential to be a culmination for you that is as big as this trip in your consciousness, that is as many miracles, that is as much joy, that is as powerful bringing together of all that you want as being on this 5-star cruise ship, going someplace extraordinary, beautiful, in the company of people you want to be with. So if we acknowledge that every day is a culmination, what are we looking for as we go through the day? We're looking for the evidence that today is the culmination of everything we've lived until today. What a joy that is. What a way to live. I love living this way, and I encourage you to experiment with it. If it isn't your practiced way of being already, play with it. See if it works. That's the whole point to Science of Mind. Science of Mind is an experimental philosophy. Ernest Holmes said, if you try it and it doesn't work for you, find something that does. We are not proselytizing and trying to convince each other or ourselves that this is the only way there is. It's not the only path. There are so many beautiful paths. But this is a powerful one, and it works if you practice it. It works for me. And all I can say is it works for me, and if you try it and you practice it, chances are it'll work for you. And if it doesn't, find something that does. And so it is.
And so it is.